You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 2nd, 2021, Good Friday. The U.S. Capitol, as you heard, has had a scene of a deadly assault upon the Capitol. This time, somebody driving a car, ramming into two Capitol Hill police officers, then coming out of the car with a knife. One of the Capitol Hill police officers who was hit by the car has since passed away. And other officers opened fire on the guy that came out with a knife. He was killed. They're still trying to find out exactly who was involved, what the motive was. They insist at this time that they do not think it was an actual terrorist plot, just somebody decided to go on a rampage. Basically took a knife to a gunfight, as it turned out. But in the process, a Capitol Hill police officer paid with his life. The Biden administration's American Jobs Plan, as they're calling it, according to Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana, says that Democrat proposal would make China a preferable location for many business operations. And that, by the way, let me add a side note, that is in addition to what Biden's going to do on corporate tax rates again. He's going to raise them to where they're going to be in this country, paying 3% higher than those same companies would pay if they were based or had major operations in China. We will make them pay higher money than China would. What do you think is going to happen with some of those businesses? But anyway, Scalise says it's not just that. He's saying what they will be trying to do under the name of global warming, we're going to outsource more jobs to China. It is not good news for this nation. It's not going to be beneficial. But don't worry, someday in the future, we'll have everything squared away for you. If you have to suffer for 30, 40 years, you and your family, so be it. In the meantime, several House Democrats want the president to take executive action. Executive action on, quote, concealable assault-style firearms. That's because the shooter in Boulder had a semi-automatic Ruger AR-556 pistol, considered to be a smaller variant of an AR-15-style rifle. It's still a pistol. It has a brace. It sometimes may have straps. But they want to, again, call that an assault weapon. It is still semi-automatic. But they want to, again, say that that needs to be banned. And Biden, they want him to do it by executive order. You're going to have to keep that in mind as it moves forward. In the meantime, the Arkansas State Senate passing a bill banning enforcement of any such federal gun control laws. But if Biden can be talked into, somebody gives him a pen, says sign here, and he signs off another executive order, if you value your Second Amendment rights, you need to make sure you stay on top of that story. And you don't have First Amendment rights if you don't have Second Amendment rights. In the meantime, we have this tsunami, and in direct defiance of AOC, I'm also going to say this surge at the border of illegals, because Biden basically said the door's open, come on in, and they can't handle it. It's a total debacle. In the meantime, Department of Health and Human Services say, we want the Department of Defense to help take care of some of these kids. Maybe open up some closed military bases. Open them up for these illegals. What are you going to do about our 40,000, minimum 40,000 homeless vets across the nation? You going to do anything for them, much less the other homeless on our streets that are American citizens? And, of course, the Georgia election law continues to be blasted by Democrats and the left wing trying to make you believe that it is trying to disenfranchise people, when all it's doing is tightening election integrity, making it easier to vote, harder to cheat. Senator Marco Rubio said, you look at Coca-Cola and Delta, they want to have a boycott over this because they claim it's a violation of rights. He said, where are they when it comes to dealing with Chinese and their genocide of Muslims. He points out their business partners with Chinese. That's what's going on. And by the way, word coming out, Congressman Matt Gaetz, according to one news source, under federal probe for potential sex trafficking and other related charges, ABC reporting allegations that the congressman participated in a game while serving the Florida State House, where he and other young male lawmakers were granted points for bedding down different women, including interns and so forth. This story is not getting any better. And some of the women who worked at the State House said they used to call him Creepy Gaetz. We'll continue to monitor it.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Texas Department of Public Safety, they investigated a stash house. And at that stash house, they found four illegal immigrants plus a gang member who was wanted on two counts of rape of a child. In addition to that, DPS, they pulled over a vehicle. And in the vehicle, they found a smuggler with a car full of illegal immigrants, including a 14-year-old girl who this smuggler had sexually assaulted. There was a story about a six-month-old baby that smugglers that were bringing people in these rafts across the river, they tossed that six-month-old baby into the river. And it took a Texas Department of Public Safety officer to go into that water and to save that child. These are the types of reckless criminal behavior that Texas is having to step up and respond to.
That is Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And that's exactly what he's seeing along the southern border of Texas, along the Rio Grande. There are some areas where you can, when at least the drier season, you can almost walk in some of the more shallow areas. Other times it's not, and people do drown in it. They had a 9-year-old girl that drowned last week. Nobody could get to her in time. And you certainly recall the picture, horrific as it was, during the Trump administration, when a father had tried to swim across the Rio Grande with his, I believe, 3-year-old on his back, hanging around his neck. He couldn't make it. He went under, she went under, and then they ended up on shore, both deceased, and her arm still clutched around her father's neck. It was a horrific, heartbreaking story and picture. And, of course, the left went running wild, saying, look what Trump is doing. Look what he's doing. And now they've got so many situations going on at the border right now, and I don't see a single Democrat down there other than Texas Congressman Cuellar, Democrat, who thinks the government's totally screwing this up. I don't see them down there complaining about it. I don't see ALC standing out there. I don't see them going down and pointing out all these how these cages or pods they're now called because they're plastic, plexiglass, as opposed to wire. I don't see them going down trying to help. I don't see them trying to say how bad it is. And I darn sure don't see the really rich Hollywood elite who are all about opening up the borders, let everybody in. I don't see them opening their gates over their moats and inviting all illegals, at least a lot of them, to come and stay at their mansion. They got plenty of room in their mansion. So many rooms are out on around the pool or out on the yard. They got a lot of room. Do you see them doing that? I did it again. I wasted my breath and your time with a senseless question. We all know the answer, don't we? Well, Governor Abbott says, despite what's going on, despite what the government has dumped on Texas, and again, this is just one state, he says, we're doing our best to try to clean it up.
With Biden's open border policies, it brings in a lot of crime that Texas law enforcement is stepping up and having to address. Let me give you some numbers that we talked about today, knowing that it was just 4 weeks ago that I deployed the Texas Department of Public Safety. And in just 4 weeks, they've been able to arrest almost 600 criminals who are here illegally or engaged in illegal activity and apprehended more than 16,000 people here illegally and turned them over to the Border Patrol.
Texas is having to do that. And that was Governor Abbott talking on the Sean Hannity program, talking about that he had signed an order telling the DPS, that's the Department of Public Safety in Texas, the Texas Highway Patrol, basically, to join forces with the National Guard and start helping deal with this crisis on the border, especially after they get away from the border. Doing their best to try to clean it up. And some of these facilities in Texas, like the Donna facility that Senator Cruz and others visited, talking about how it was, according to Senator Cruz, 1,500% excess capacity. Facilities built for 70, filled with 400 plus or more. And the other problem is, what's happening inside those facilities? How much care are the, quote, unaccompanied children getting? Now, you can't blame the Border Patrol. They are absolutely strapped thin. So the governor said, well, we'll send our people in to help augment it and help support. But you know what? The governor says they are not allowed, even though the facility is inside their state, and they've been sent in there by the government. The Texas officials are not allowed to go inside and participate and help. Listen.
What the Biden administration is doing, as you were pointing out, they are flooding all of these facilities with far more people than is what is allowed under federal law. And so the Biden administration, I believe, is clearly in violation of what the federal standards are. And as we have found in the Midland location, for example, not only did we find that more than 10% of the unaccompanied minors at the Midland facility had tested positive for COVID, but also we found a lack of safety in the region, such as not having adequate fencing or guarding around it, with the possibility of people being able to get out. In addition to that, there was no adequate running water at that particular facility, and there are still indeterminate matters about whether or not it is a safe location for them at that location as well as other locations. And the reason for that is because the Biden administration is allowing so many people in.
So many people in. And in Texas, the seat of Texas, the capital, is Austin. It's gone blue. You got the University of Texas there, and it's blue. I hate to admit it. My birth town of Austin, Texas, is now blue. And you got a lot of blue in El Paso and San Antonio. And I don't see any of those Democrats inside Texas. I don't see the Democrats inside Texas going down and saying, we got to stop this. This is wrong, and sending word to D.C., Biden, this is wrong, what you're doing here. You're not doing anything right. And, of course, the Biden administration says, we'll give you transparency when we're ready to, and we'll let you see things when we got everything in order. In other words, when we sanitize it. And then the wedding sanitizes right now. And as we're speaking, there's another caravan right now gathering in the northern triangle of those countries, getting ready to come across the Mexico border and head for the U.S., and they'll probably pick up more along the way. And you heard them mention, the governor mention, COVID. I thought we were trying to control pandemic. Are you not under certain lockdown orders, businesses shut down, out of business? And yet we're going to flood the nation with those who probably have it. And even if we know they have it, we're not stopping them. We're just letting them go, get on buses, travel all over the nation. And these kids coming across, if they have a phone number in their pocket, the idea is we're going to call that phone number and somebody say, oh, yeah, I know that. That's my stepson or cousin. Send them on up. Is anybody asking and checking the person answering that phone? Are they really a relative? Are they engaged in child smuggling for porn, sex abuse, maybe death? Governor Abbott says, right now, in Texas, it looks like only Texas is really enforcing the law.
They are enforcing the law by going into these stash houses, by making arrests, by making the apprehensions, doing everything that the Biden administration is supposed to be doing. But even more than that, because what happens is these cartels know exactly where they're doing, and they distract the Border Patrol so that they can try to sneak into the U.S. drugs or people from terrorist-sponsored nations. And that's exactly why we need Texas law enforcement filling that gap so that we can detect and crack down on crimes like that may be coming across the border.
Because the government, the U.S. government under Biden, is not doing it. You can't blame the Border Patrol or ICE. They're getting their command direct out of D.C. And, of course, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, finally admitted the other day, I've got it here in front of me, finally, Wednesday, 2 days ago, admitted, yes, the inhumane way smugglers abuse children while profiting off parents' desperation is criminal and morally reprehensible. And, of course, he's assuming the parents let their child go with some of these coyotes. Sometimes, quote, a true parent or relatives with them. Other times, either the coyotes are renting a child to help get someone else across, or buying them, or stealing them, kidnapping. We had no knowledge of these kids. They just suddenly show up. You can't turn your back on a five-year-old standing there looking desperate and hungry. Of course you can't. And we can as a nation. But they're being used as pawns. And the abuse that's been going on, it took till last Wednesday for the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas to admit, yeah, the kids are being subjected to inhumane abuse. You heard Governor Abbott at the beginning talk about a couple examples. Let's just listen to one of those again.
The Texas Department of Public Safety, they investigated a stash house. And at that stash house, they found four illegal immigrants plus a gang member who was wanted on two counts of rape of a child. In addition to that, DPS, they pulled over a vehicle, and in the vehicle they found a smuggler with a car full of illegal immigrants, including a 14-year-old girl who this smuggler had sexually assaulted.
That's what's happening for those who are trying to make that trip. Assuming they even wanted to. We that's the other part. We don't know how many of these that are showing up at the border ever really wanted to do that at all. You have to ask yourself, do you think a 14-year-old girl decided, I want to get to America, I'm going to travel with these guys, and I'm going to be molested and assaulted, I know that, that's just going to be the price to pay to get there. You think she might have decided that? She could have. But why would that opportunity be there? It's because the Biden administration and those in charge now of Congress and the Senate say, yeah, we don't really need no stinking border, we'll take everybody in. Do you have any idea how big that number is going to get before the end of the year even? I've got some figures I'm going to share with you in the next segment. It's not getting any better. It's going to get worse. And you heard that one example from the governor about a case where that girl is caught in the car with all these other guys, 14 years old. And then he's got another story that could have been tragic. Listen to this.
There was a story about a six-month-old baby that smugglers that were bringing people in these rafts across the river, they tossed that six-month-old baby into the river. And it took a Texas Department of Public Safety officer to go into that water and to save that child. These are the types of reckless criminal behavior that Texas is having to step up and respond to.
Thank God that they got to that child, 6 months old. Throw it in the river. They know this has been going on. They know similar cases like this have been, and how many are going on that we don't know about? This is just what we know about. And the stash houses, as he said, He's got the Department of Public Safety in Texas, the Highway Patrol, along with the National Guard, raiding these stash houses, finding people, finding drugs, finding weapons. Do you hear anything that's good for America in that? And it took to this last Wednesday for the Department of Homeland Security's Secretary Mayorkas to admit, yeah, there's an inhumane way these smugglers are treating these kids. I'm looking here also that they claim that those under 18 that show up at the border, this is what their claim is, that they show up at the border and they have a phone number, as I told you earlier, they will call it and connect them because they say, they claim that in more than 80% of the cases, the child has family members in the U.S. They just come up with that figure. I don't think they've documented it. I think they just said it. And, of course, we had the picture the other day. You talk about treatment of kids. Two smugglers dropping toddlers, a brother and sister, I believe, over the wall. Just dropped them. I thought it was much higher. I told you something the other day that's about 30 feet. It's not. It's 14. But still, you want to drop a 3- or 5-year-old 14 feet, see if they bounce. They drop them, and then you see the smugglers run back deeper into Mexico. Thank God those kids survived. And now there's talk about where we're going to house them where we are now. We got a lot of homeless in this nation. But now we're going to put all that effort into the illegals. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A couple of the notes on what's happening in Texas. As you heard the Texas Governor Abbott in the preceding segment talking about what they're trying to do to deal with the illegals coming into the state because the Border Patrol is pressed beyond its ability and the Biden administration doing nothing to really help. So the governor decided to, by order, put the Department of Public Safety, DPS, basically Highway Patrol, working with National Guard to do what they could to round some of these illegals up. And they've been finding stash houses where people have been stored, waiting for a chance to get deeper in the U.S. And, of course, you got the kids coming across, and sometimes they're just abandoned. And if they live, fine. If they don't, the coyotes don't care. They get their money. And speaking of money, the Texas governor said what we are spending in this state to deal with this border surge, yes, AOC, I use the word surge, and it is different than the word insurgent, which you apparently don't understand. But anyway, Governor Abbott said we're going to ask the federal government to reimburse Texas for the costs we're incurring. Governor, good luck with that. Good luck with that. You got a better chance of playing Texas Hold'em and putting all your money down on an inside straight. Those of you who know poker know exactly what that means. For the rest of you, it's just the fact that if you play everything for an inside straight, well, basically, a lot of kids don't go to college because daddy did that. I mentioned earlier that there's a new caravan coming, this one farming in Central America, traveling north with the goal to reach the U.S.-Mexico border. Do you have any idea what the numbers are they're projecting to come? Government officials are now stating, and CNN is reporting the story, so if you want to take it as fact or not, but by September, 2 million will cross our border. 2 million. And, of course, many of them, the unaccompanied children. Now the Department of Health and Human Services asking the Department of Defense, we need help, you think? Yeah, we need help. Press Secretary for the Department of Defense said, we received a request from Department of Health and Human Services to potentially use Camp Roberts in California to house unaccompanied minors. We're moving forward to analyze that request right now. Now, Camp Roberts is a California Army National Guard base in northern San Luis Obispo County. They're not saying now how many kids could be housed there. I have a question for you. Do you know how many homeless vets we have in this nation? Well, it'd be a guess for any of us. The best guess would be 40,000. 40,000 homeless vets. No one ever thought about opening these bases for them. They're pretty much used to living in barracks and base style. And it'd be better than on the street, would it not? And then what about the rest of the homeless across the nation? Am I saying we should not give some kind of care to these kids? No, I'm not. I'm saying they should be cared for because now they're here. But it has to stop. We had to go back to the Trump policy. You remain in Mexico if you're asking for asylum. These kids, they don't know what they're asking for. They can be coached, but they don't really know. But again, the Sacramento Bee newspaper says the Department of Health and Human Services wants to use an area of land on that base it's talking about. And not sure they're going to construct additional facilities. And if we have another caravan coming, and the estimates are we're going to have 2 million cross our southern border by September. Oh, and don't forget this. I pointed it out yesterday in case you didn't hear it. Department of Homeland Security now giving border crossers one-year permits to live in the U.S., just handing it to them. They're not asking them to sign papers and say come back for adjudication, see if you should be here. They're just going to go ahead and give them a one-year permit. They've done it already for 45,000. 45,000. Oh, did they check them for COVID, you asked? No, for the most part, they didn't. But when they did, they found COVID. And now spreading through your neighborhood. This is what Biden and the administration have done so far. Coming up, I want you to hear from Cornel West. Yes, he's a far-left liberal. But you shouldn't always not listen to the other side because there's some value. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around under 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all alone, I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You're talking about what it means actually to open yourself to get beyond the stereotypes and acknowledge that for the first nearly 100 years, America failed on that question. It didn't stay in contact with the humanity of black people. You enslaved us. You exploited us. You tortured us. We tried to barbarize us, and we responded with making your democracy better, with more love, more freedom, and more wounded healing. Then we came back for another 100 years of neo-slavery. We failed on that again. Looked like under Martin and Fannie Lou Hamer and others, we were making a breakthrough. Looked like under Brother Barack Obama, we're making some progress. Here comes the backlash again. So here we are in 2020, saying very much how you started this show, my brother. Do we have what it takes to really acknowledge the rich humanity of black folk, to treat us fairly, to treat us like human beings?
Those are the words of Cornel West as he appeared on Don Lemon's program last night on CNN. He was talking originally about the trial underway involving the death of George Floyd. That is still underway today, additional testimony being taken. And, of course, we all know, you should know, the story of Floyd, that he was being arrested and one officer put his knee into the back of his neck, held him down, and Floyd was saying he couldn't breathe, and others around got concerned, and the officers wouldn't let anyone else intervene. And that leads, of course, to the trial. It also led to a lot of violence in our streets across the nation. Cornel West made some points there that I think are worth holding close and thinking about. Don't just be dismissive because it comes from either someone you don't like or you don't listen to or is the opposing view. Just you don't do that. Listen. Make some decisions based on what you hear and what you know, but you don't have to simply put up a wall and say, well, they're not in my camp. I'm only going to listen to them. That doesn't do us any good. That's the basic premise for all racial hatred and division we have right now and has been. Cornel West, identified as an American philosopher, political activist, social critic, grandson of a Baptist minister, he's mainly been focusing most of his life as a radical Democrat and a socialist views. I'm going to acknowledge all that about him. Outspoken voice in left-wing politics. Professorships and fellowships at Harvard, Dartmouth, Princeton, Yale, Pepperdine, so forth. He co-hosted a radio program, some of you might recall, the Tavis Smiley, called Smiley and West. That was 2010 through 13. Cornel West marched as a young man in civil rights demonstrations, organized protests demanding black studies courses at his high school when he was student body president. He later wrote that in his youth he admitted, quote, the sincere black militancy of Malcolm X, the defiant rage of the Black Panther Party, and the livid black theology of James Cone, he said that he admired. Then he had enrolled at Harvard. What he said in that interview, I want to bear down on a couple things before you hear from him again. He said, for the first nearly 100 years, America failed the question that, are we trying to look beyond stereotypes? He's talking, obviously, about the slavery. He said, you enslaved us, you tortured us. That is all correct. You cannot deny it. As much as the left want to tear down the statues of Jefferson, that's part of our history as well, too. I acknowledge this as part of our history as well. You should. It is. It's a fact. And he said, we respond to making your democracy better with more love and more freedom. Again, I won't deny that in many cases. I mean, people are people. If they love, I mean, that is a tremendous ability that I have to admit sometimes I don't have enough of, that I'm willing to love an enemy. He also said, do we have now what it really takes to acknowledge the rich humanity of black folk, his words, the rich humanity of black folk to treat us fairly like human beings? That is a base question. And the answer should be an immediate and emphatic yes. Yes. So you've had some encounter with someone of a different race, be you black, white, yellow, and whatever their race was opposite yours, and you had some encounter, it didn't go well, and from then on, you've locked down that whole race is to be written off, and that's their attitude. He just said in that, you shouldn't. Now, he's looking at it from the black perspective, but we need to look at it from what he's really pushing, the human perspective. Do we have what it takes to really acknowledge a rich humanity of black folk to treat us fairly like human beings? Let's rewrite it briefly, just for the emphasis of understanding a real message. Do we really have what it takes to really acknowledge the rich humanity of people to treat all of them fairly like human beings, regardless of color, regardless of religion, regardless of gender? Do we have that? I think it's a good question to ask. Here we are on Good Friday. Good Friday, recognized by Christians as the day that Christ was nailed to the cross and died for all of our sins. And then on the third day was raised from the dead, coming up Sunday, Easter. I'll come back to that a little bit later. But again, back to Cornel West and some of his remarks. He's also proposing something, and when he starts proposing this, I have to tell you, it gets a little difficult, but please listen to this part.
The police can't do it, then, you know, we've got to do it ourselves.
Okay.
Let me tell you this, too. Now, let me just add this one thing, though, brother.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I thought about Brother George, and I thought about my brother, and I thought about my father, and I thought about my grandfather. I'm not going to stand there for no 9 minutes and 29 seconds and watch somebody murder my father. No, no, No. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about pacifism, and I believe in nonviolence, but I'm not going to watch that kind of murder. I love my brother Charles McMillan. That's why he was crying. That's what his tears were about. He felt helpless. We're not going to do that. Some of us black folk, some of us black men, we're not going to stand there. We're going to have to intervene in some way. They ain't going to kill us like that, and we remain spectators.
That's a pretty powerful statement, and I want you to put yourself in the beginning part of it. If you thought your brother, your father was being abused, be it by police or others, and you thought they're in the process of killing him, what are you going to do? Do you have what it takes to hold back and say, I'll deal with it later right now, I'm just not going to get in? If I sit here and tell you that if my child is being attacked, be it by police, let's stay with his position about police, and I'm a big law and order guy, and I certainly support police, good officers every day and every night, regardless of their color, gender, or religion. But those who get out of control and somebody's not, another officer not intervening and stopping something that obviously is going to go the wrong way and it doesn't have to go that way, are you going to stand there and watch it? That's the point. But my reaction is, if it's my child out there, yeah, I'll probably jump in. And that is probably going to be the worst and the wrong thing to do. And I'm saying the same thing for him. But that's where your human emotion comes in, that you just can't say, let's resolve it in court. What I do hope, though, that it does not become a lightning rod for part of his remark, in the sense that you're not going to kill us like that and we remain spectators. Just keep those words in mind. Also, when you're stereotyping people and you see a drug addict or someone you know is be that way, you think, oh, they're pretty useless type people. Hunter Biden has out a book, Beautiful Things, and he talks about during the 2020 campaign, he's at his father's house in Delaware. There was an intervention. He stormed out of the house, and hear what happened.
I tried to get into the – I tried to go to my car, and my girls literally blocked the door of my car. I said, Dad, please, you can't – no.
Yeah.
This was the hardest part of the book to write. And he grabbed me in a hug.
Mm-hmm.
He grabbed me. He put bear hug. And he said, he just cried. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Please.
What did you think when you heard that?
I thought, I need to figure out a way to tell him that I'm going to do something so that I can go take another hit.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I could think. Literally, that's how powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know of a force more powerful than my family's love, except addiction.
Whatever your view of Hunter Biden, when a father is trying to save a child and he can't compete against a drug, you have to feel sympathy for everyone involved. Which brings us to the beauty of this day, Good Friday, and what comes afterwards. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What did you think when you heard that?
I thought, I need to figure out a way to tell him that I'm going to do something so that I can go take another hit.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I could think. Literally, that's how powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know of a force more powerful than my family's love, except addiction.
Again, those are the words of Hunter Biden in a CBS interview. It's going to play in its entirety Sunday. And in that, he's talking about his substance abuse. He wrote the book titled Beautiful Things. And regardless of what we think about Hunter Biden or his father and his politics and things of that nature, let's just focus on the man and a drug addiction and a family hoping they can turn him away. I've been blessed not to have that in my family. I'm sure many of you have not been blessed. Or maybe it wasn't a drug addiction, it's an alcohol addiction. Any kind of addiction that leads to something that is destructive and you cannot get your child, your spouse, your parent to turn away. As you heard Hunter Biden say, again, this was at an intervention at his father's home in Delaware back during the 2020 presidential campaign. And they had a tense confrontation. He stormed out of the house. He didn't want them to intervene and goes down the driveway to get in his car, and his father, Joe Biden, is chasing after him. You have to be absolutely heartless to not care about Hunter Biden at that point and what he's doing to himself and to his family. And you have to be heartless not to feel Joe Biden's love. We have, of course, our Jewish friends are wrapping up Sunday, the evening of Sunday, April 4th, this coming Sunday, Passover, which is a major Jewish holiday, and it began the Saturday, March 27th. Passover was a time in the Bible where God had said he was sending the angel of death over the area, except for those who marked their doors, the angel of death would pass over. And of course, today is called Good Friday, and I know many don't understand that. It is a major part of Christian religion. Good Friday, the day that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and died, and then was taken down and put in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose. Christians have the faith all the way that that's exactly as it went and is, and that he died for our sins and anyone else who acknowledges Christ as our Savior. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm just trying to tell you something in the midst between our Jewish friends and their Passover. Christians now, the highest holy day for them coming up Sunday, Easter. And those of other religions have their high days, or those with no religion. And I had a report the other day that those who identify as being connected to a church, the numbers are way down, lower than ever been since they started such a survey back in the 1930s. And I think most of us acknowledge you don't have to be in a church at a pew to be religious, but yet that's also fellowship that comes with that. Or you commune with God in the forest or wherever, or whatever you recognize as a superior being. We need in this nation and in this world right now, more than ever, love, respect, and caring for others. It's not easy sometimes. And too many times it's drawn down the center dealing with, well, this relative is so far left or right, I can't deal with them anymore, or this one is messing with drugs and so forth, I can't get them to turn, we're is an outcast. And in some cases, you have to have some tough love, obviously take care of it. And I pray for you and your family if you're going through that. But we also have to acknowledge that we're on this planet together, and with God's help, we'll make our way through it one way or the other. Or not. This day, last week, a very close relative of mine was in the hospital with COVID, younger than me, good, healthy. And I know he and his family were looking forward to coming Easter Sunday. And as I said, this day last week, he was in the hospital, and by Saturday morning, he was gone. Today, his wife and children are putting his ashes around the family farm, as he always wanted. It's got to be a tough day for them. It's a tough day for our family as a whole, and I know many of you have gone through that as well. And that's where we have to turn to faith, something higher than us, because I can't make sense of things otherwise. I wish you a happy end to your Passover. I wish you certainly a happy Easter. I thank you very much for listening and sharing with others, letting them know we're here. Do remember our pledge. Our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.